Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Sudden squalls often hit the Sea of Galilee. Life's like that. One day, all is well. Then, a terrible accident. Today, lessons from the one who can either calm the storm or calm his fretful children. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles. Today we turn again to John chapter 6 and see Jesus, Lord of Nature. A storm is lashing the disciples' boat, and in seeing Jesus, they think they've seen a ghost.
Years ago, I was up in Calgary, and when I was in the Calgary Hotel, close to Banff, the Calgary Herald, when I was there, wrote a story. They had a story on how two rooms in this beautiful hotel were haunted. And one day we were there, and this young woman asked whether or not she could take us for a tour of the hotel, and we said, sure. So she took us to the dining room area, and she said, as you come down these stairs, there were marble stairs with potted plants, she said, a ghost lives on those stairs, and that's why we have these plants, so nobody can walk on them. And she said, a young woman, when the hotel was built, was being married, and she stumbled down the stairs and hit her head and died there, and her spirit still is there. And she said, you can talk to some of the people who work here in the cafeteria, and they will tell you that they see her from time to time. I looked at this young lady who was about 21 years old, and I said, would you like me to give you a biblical explanation for this? I said, this young lady died and her soul went to wherever, but it's not on the stairs. I said, but there are demons that sometimes take the characteristics of a person with whom they are acquainted, and they may stay in certain areas. And this sweet young tour guide looked at me and she said, I don't like the word demon. I prefer the word ghost because it's friendlier. You know, Casper, that friendly ghost. I want you to know today that there are no friendly ghosts. They're ghosts that appear friendly, but there are no friendly ghosts. So anyway, here they're on the sea and they see Jesus walking toward them, and immediately Jesus comes to them and says, it is I, be not afraid. And then you remember the story of Peter, and then they invite Christ into the boat. And then John says that the boat was at the shore almost immediately. In fact, that might have been a miracle, the fact that it was at the shore so quickly. Well, that's the story. Does Pastor Lutzer have anything more to say? I mean, he's told the story. Ah, yes, there's so much more. I would not want you to leave without being so blessed that you won't know where to put your blessings when you leave. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share with you four lessons that we can learn from this story, and these lessons are so important that if we learn them well, listen carefully, you would never view a storm of life the same again. I promise. You'll never see a storm in the same way. You'll never see a ghost in the same way. You will never see the darkness and the night in the same way. If only we were to learn these lessons, if only I were to learn these lessons, we would simply transform our storms into something that would be quite different. If only we learned what the disciples had to learn. Are you ready to learn today? You came here to learn, didn't you? Lesson number one. Sometimes Christ commands us to row into the storm. He commands us to do it. In the passage in Matthew, we have that Jesus made them to get into a boat, and he said to them, cross over to the other side where I will meet you. Could it be any clearer than that? Students from Moody Bible Institute, and we have some of them here today, constantly puzzled about the will of God. They're not the only ones. We all are from time to time. What is God's will? I wish that he'd come out of heaven and tell me what to do. Well, I want you to know that in this instance, Jesus told them what to do. Get into this boat, go to that side of the lake. Could it be any clearer? And in the midst of obeying Christ, the most awful storm they had ever encountered. So often people think, you know, that I'm in a storm. I must be out of God's will. It can't be God's will that I be here in Chicago. Look at what has happened to me since I've come. No, my friend, you might be here at the command of Christ, or exactly where the storm is. Always remember that. You see, we tend to think that the quietest and the most tranquil path is always the most holy path. That is not true. Sometimes Christ asks us to go into a storm, and we're in the storm, in the eye of the storm, in the center of the will of God. You say, but Pastor Luther, you don't know my story. I have a storm that I created. It's one thing, you know, a storm over which I have no control, but I am the one who did not obey the counsel of a pastor or my parents, and I am in a mess of my own making. It is my sin, it is my rebellion, and that's the storm I'm in. So what does Jesus do in a case like that? Say, well, you know, you created the storm, so, you know, you go ahead and blow with it. In other words, that's your trouble. Of course not. He doesn't abandon his people even in storms that they themselves have created. Just ask Jonah. He was in a storm because of disobedience. It says in chapter 1, verse 6, and the Lord hurled a great storm upon the sea. Why? Because Jonah was disobedient. And look at how God prepared a fish for him. Why? Because there was a disobedient prophet who had to get back into God's will, and God went through all that work to get him back. But you know what did it? It was the fish and Jonah crying to God in the fish. It was the equivalent of bottoming out. It was there that he finally said, I will return to the Lord. I will pay my vows. I'm finally going to get my act together. It was a prayer of repentance. Listen to me, my dear friend. You are in a storm of your own making. You know, there are some people, if you are, I mean, there are some people, you know, they create a storm because of the wrong decisions, and then they keep on making decisions that just keeps making the wind more powerful. They go from storm to storm. They go from squall to storm to hurricane. What you need to do is to pause, and you need to repent, and you need to say, God, I am here because of my own making. This is my sin, but I cry out to you, and I yield to you, and I dedicate myself to you. Father, do in me that which is well-pleasing in the midst of this mess. Jonah would tell us that. Adam would tell us that too. Adam blew it badly. You know, he really created a mess, and he had a good opportunity, supposedly, to make things right, but he disobeyed God. And in the midst of that storm, God already had salvation planned, and he had animal skins to clothe Adam and Eve, symbolic of redemption. Our God is so great that if you're in a storm of your own making and you repent, God is going to come along and he's going to help you too. You say, well, Pastor Luther, could these disciples have drowned in this storm? Not in this one, maybe in another, but they couldn't have drowned. No, two reasons. First of all, Jesus told them to get into the boat and go to the other side. I mean, you're talking about the Son of God. If he says you're going to arrive on the other side, you're going to arrive on the other side. You know, these guys could have enjoyed that storm. Really. And you know, if you believe in the sovereignty of God like I do and like I'm trying to convince you to do, you'll have to always believe that if you're to be hung, you'll never drown. You'll never drown. Because, am I going too fast for some of you? Because your life is ultimately in God's hands, and God had work for these disciples to do. Lesson number one, God sometimes commands us to roll into the storm. You're going through a storm today. You may not necessarily be out of God's will. You may be in the center of his will. That's where the big storms come. Lesson number two, Christ can see us in the storm. Christ can see us in the storm. Now, Jesus was on the Golan Heights praying, and they were in the midst of the storm. Could they see him? Could they say, I see Jesus up there? Not a chance. Because it was dark and it was windy and they had their hands full trying to keep that ship, that little boat going. No, they couldn't. Could he see them? Oh, yes. Yes, Jesus knew the longitude and the latitude of that little boat. He knew exactly the height of the waves. He knew the speed of the wind. He knew intricately the strength of every one of those little boards that comprised that little ship. He knew that with perfect, unerring knowledge. And he knew it, and he knew it all in detail. Now let's talk about your storm and your little boat. Let's talk about your little boat. Does Jesus understand you in your loneliness? Does he understand your heartache? Does he understand your disappointment? Is he cognizant of people who have done you injustice? Is he aware of how you were deceived? Is he aware of all that? He has perfect knowledge of your little boat, my friend, today. He knows more about you than your doctor could ever possibly know. He was on hand when you were created, and he knows every single cell in your body and what really is wrong, as opposed to some of the folks who've been telling you what's wrong. He knows all that. Omniscience guarantees that he knows, and omnipresence guarantees that the will of God will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Now, Matthew records that Jesus came to them at the fourth watch, which is to say 4 a.m, when it was very dark. And, you know, they were rowing since the night before. And he came to them in the nick of time when they were absolutely weary and didn't know whether or not they could go on. And have you ever noticed that Jesus sometimes does indeed let us hang on until almost the very end? A friend of mine says that God invites us to live on the edge. For example, you remember the story of Abraham. There was a ram that was caught in the thicket that Abraham could offer instead of offering his son Isaac. But let me tell you, when did Abraham see that ram? Did he see the ram when he woke early in the morning, the Bible says, kissed Sarah goodbye, and then began the 3-day journey to Moriah? Did he see the ram then? No. Did he see it as he and Isaac were going up the mountain? Did he see the ram at that time? No. Did he see it when he built the altar? No. Did he see it when he laid Isaac on the altar? No. He only saw it when he took the knife in his hand and was about to slay his son. It is then that the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham. And it is then that he opened his eyes and there was a ram caught in the bushes.
This is Pastor Lutzer, and we do pray that God will richly bless you. And I need to remind you that we all live on the edge, don't we? I think, for example, of opportunities that God has given to me, or challenges where there has been fear in my heart and I've wondered how it was going to turn out. And yet somehow, as I look back, I can see that God provided for me in the moment of my desperation and in the moment of my need. Here are disciples that are out on the lake. And of course, we've talked about the blowing wind. We've talked about the possibility of them drowning. And yet they had the assurance, or should have had, that Jesus had not left them, even though they could not see him. Today I'm speaking to someone who cannot see Jesus. You can't see God in your circumstances. Well, he's there for you. And if you call out to him, possibly he will come to you at the very moment of your need and supply whatever it is that will get you through that trial. He's the God of the impossible. Call out to him today.
Erwin Lutzer with part 2 of Jesus, Lord of Nature, another message in his series on the 7 convincing miracles in the Gospel of John. Next time, final thoughts about Jesus being with us, even when we go through life's most terrifying storms. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about 7 convincing miracles when you write or call. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.